My name is a sad song. Who would have thought it would someday become the sound a man makes in despair?
The actor Bill Camp performing an excerpt from the play Ajax by Sophocles. Now, that play was written around 450 BC. That's nearly 2,500 years ago. And it's the story of Ajax, a powerful and blooded soldier who has worked up into homicidal fury against his own comrades and commanders after they insult him. And it ends with Ajax killing himself, literally falling on his own sword. American writer and director Brian Dorries says that's a story which modern soldiers relate to. They know Ajax. And he's been presenting highly charged readings of this and other Greek tragedies to serving American soldiers, all in the name of confronting the trauma and the mental suffering, which for so many is the price of war service. And he's written about his experiences in a compelling new book called The Theatre of War. And he joins us now from a studio in New York City. Brian, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
So this is the Theatre of War project. How does it work? You present readings, do you?
Yes. I mean, I call them readings on steroids because the actors bring all of their talents to bear. They rip through their vocal cords. The spit and tears are flying from the stage. And it's not like a reading that one would normally see in a commercial theater.
No, it wouldn't be polite. But, I mean, New York actors anyway read like mad people. I've been to New York readings, and there's a kind of urgency and power that I don't think you can get in rehearsal rooms anywhere else in the world. So when did you realize that these works from 2,500 years ago, had the capacity to affect, to heal communities in the way that you say they do?
It was very much a personal journey for me. I had studied these plays as a student of classics. I studied Greek and Latin in school and had translated some of them and even directed a few of them. And I thought I knew what they were about. In my early to mid-20s, I fell in love and I lost my girlfriend who died of cystic fibrosis in 2003. She was 22 and I was 26. And the experience of caring for her and witnessing her suffering and being present when she died changed my relationship to these tragedies. All of a sudden, they spoke to me as if they'd been written about my experiences or for me to read or to hear. And I found relief in knowing that I wasn't the first person to have felt ambivalent in the presence of another person's suffering or about being a caregiver or about the kind of ethical decisions one faces around the end of life. And so I got this idea in my head, if I could simply put these ancient Greek plays in front of audiences who'd lived the experiences they describe, something powerful and healing might happen. And I started in hospitals. I got my first sort of reading of this nature in a hospital in New York City. And when I heard the medical students and doctors and even patients responding to Sophocles' plays, a veil was lifted. All of a sudden I saw something that's informed my work ever since, which is that the audience knew more than I did.
Well, if you can rescue these plays from being classics and rediscover the ways in which they are contemporary, something very powerful happens. So you've managed to persuade some very well-known actors to perform in the Theatre of War project that you've been doing. Just tell us some of the people who are on board with you.
Everyone from Jake Gyllenhaal, Frances McDormand, Paul Giamatti, Martin Sheen, Terrence Howard. Over in the UK, Jason Isaacs, the list goes on and on and on of very committed actors with social conscience who jump at the opportunity to do something that feels as if it's of service with their work. It's very rare in our profession to feel like we're doing anything for anyone other than ourselves, but to feel like your craft is actually moving the needle and making a difference, perhaps even saving lives. It's such a rare experience that we've had now close to 200 actors all sign up and participate.
Yeah. Let's paint a picture. You've got a hall, and on the stage there are these actors, and they're not wearing togas and whatnot. It's a reading. Tell us about the performance you staged for Marines in the Hyatt Ballroom in San Diego, because that was a particularly highly charged night.
Yeah, that was the first performance of Theatre of War for a military audience. It was in August of 2008. I had somehow found my way into the Marine Corps after a year of trying to convince someone that this was something we should do. And I brought actors David Strathairn and Jesse Eisenberg and Bill Camp, who you already heard. And we read six scenes from two plays by Sophocles, Ajax and Philoctetes. Ajax is the story of a great warrior who comes unraveled in the ninth year of the Trojan War after losing his best friend and after being betrayed by his command. And in an act of blind rage, he tries to kill his commanding officers and he fails. He kills animals instead in a berserk state. And when he wakes up and sees what he's done, covered in blood and shame, he ends his own life. And the play stages his suicide. I mean, his suicide happens on stage. And it's very powerful for contemporary military audiences to hear. The other play, Philoctetes, is about a veteran who's abandoned on an island by his own men on account of his chronic illness, something he contracts on the way to the Trojan War. And it's about the isolation of living on that island and being completely cut off from humanity. He's bitten by a snake, and his wound is described as a wound that never heals. And that becomes a metaphor that, you know, many of our service members respond to and connect with. So we perform these six scenes from these two plays for 400 Marines and their spouses. We scheduled a 45-minute discussion after the reading, and the discussion lasted 3.5 hours and had to be cut off close to midnight. And what people did was, much to my delight and surprise, they stood up and they quoted lines from memory from Sophocles' plays as if they'd known the plays their entire lives, and they related those lines to their own personal experiences, things they'd never shared in private, let alone in front of 400 of their peers. And they took the risk of meeting the material. The material is very powerful, and it describes, you know, really extreme emotions. And in some way, the play and the performance is saying to the audience, we're going to go this far. And if you want to meet us halfway, you can. Yeah. And that's what people did. They met us halfway, and they cried and they shared stories. And it was then that I discovered that we had stumbled across a very powerful ancient technology that had the power to deliver an experience that's very much missing and very much needed in our highly secularized and mediated world.
On Books and Arts, you're listening to Michael Cathcart talking to Brian Dorries, who is an American theatre maker who runs a project called The Theatre of War. And they take plays, tragedies, particularly Ajax is the one we've been talking about particularly, and perform them for American service personnel and their families, people who've looked into the eye of the tiger in war and known the terrible challenges that war presents, and found that their own experiences are reflected in these plays that were written over 2,000 years ago. Brian, you tell the story of a woman who said, "My husband, who is a Navy SEAL, so an elite serviceman, my husband went away 4 times to war. And each time he returned like Ajax, dragging invisible bodies into our house." And to quote the play, she said, "Our home is a slaughterhouse."
Yeah, she was the first to speak, one of the first people to speak at a theater of war performance. Her name was Marcelle. And what she did was model for other audience members how to respond. And also, to me, just opened up limitless possibilities for what we could do with this material. That she saw her husband's experience and her own experience. She said, "The war came home with my husband, just like it came home with Ajax." And when she did that, other spouses in the audience then followed her lead.
There wasn't universal acclaim that night. The general's wives who were in the audience were furious at what was happening.
They were, but I went out and... Well, so what happened briefly is that one of the first people to speak after Marcel was a nun, a Canadian chaplain, who'd served men from 40 years of service as a chaplain. And she approached the microphone with a little piece of paper in her hand, and she read from her notes. And she said, "I, in front of this audience of 400 Marines, I want to quote a line from Ajax that I've heard countless young men say to me in my 4 decades of service to the Canadian Army." And she said, she read, "Witness how the generals have destroyed me," which is one of Ajax's lines. And before she could finish that, her following statements, one of the general's wives who was seated in the front row jumped up and attacked the nun. "How dare you say that," she said. "You know, our husbands have made this possible. This is about healing, this discussion. It's not about what divides us." And before I knew it, there were 30 people lined up to participate in the conversation who were all taking the risk of kind of addressing each other in this highly charged way. But there was something about the plays that kept even the most heightened and emotional exchanges within certain boundaries. I think once an audience has been exposed to human suffering, to a portrayal of human suffering, what would in any other context result in a shouting match always returns to a sort of core human response of empathy and compassion. And so many connections were made that night. And even the general's wife, who attacked the nun afterwards when I approached her to make sure she was all right, said that she really appreciated the event and asked me if I'd thought about joining the Marine Corps. And I told her, no, I was fine just directing plays.
stay with your day job, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, as you tell the story, various senior people in the military are impressed by what you do, both people who deal with mental health issues, but also generals. And gradually they facilitate events where you speak to enormous numbers sometimes of servicemen.
Yeah.
And you've got so many stories like this. And you write a lot about trauma and about depression and suicide, about this deep cost of war, this deep internal unseen cost, well, unseen by the world, but known only too well by the women usually who share their lives with these men who come back so broken, and of course women too who've done service. But you also say something very interesting. Quite late in the book, you say the majority of people who spoke after these performances said that they had been made stronger Mm-hmm. by their war-related experiences and expressed a deep appreciation of life and its fragility. And that was such an unexpected observation in the flow of your book. I wondered whether you could enlarge on that kind of response to war service.
Yeah, I think it's easy for us to slip into a kind of stereotypical perception of the military as broken and weak. Those people have been to war, but these young men and women who go to war, they confront life and death. They lose close friends. They suffer catastrophic injuries. They face incredible horror, and they see things that upend their moral universe, their sense of right and wrong. People, you know, young women strapping on suicide vests, and families being killed in the collateral damage of military actions that probably are according to protocol. And you know, all of these things produce people who are incredibly resilient and have a tremendous amount to teach us, those of us who haven't been to war. And in the United States, less than 0.5% of our population has served in Iraq and Afghanistan. And there's a tremendous divide between those who have served and those who haven't. And so I with the projects, we want to raise awareness about our moral and ethical obligation to help those who've served heal. No matter what our opinions are of the war or the foreign policy that sent us to war, what we as a democracy owe to those who've served and how do we help them? And so the plays are about raising that awareness when we do them in public spaces. But I also want to say, and I said in the book as forcefully as I could, I've met some of the strongest, most resilient, most impressive people all through this project, in the military in particular, all of whom have a heightened and nuanced and profound understanding and appreciation for human life and for the fragility of our existence. And it's that wisdom, that insight that's born from the crucible of war that makes them such fascinating and powerful audience members, which makes me always come back to them with the humility and the knowledge that they know more than I do about the plays we perform.
You cite a psychiatrist named Dr. Jonathan Shea, who's on the same kind of wavelength as you are and who's worked with Vietnam vets. He has a theory about the origins of Greek tragedy.
So Jonathan Shea is this amazing synthetic thinker who crosses all these disciplines. He's won the MacArthur Genius Award here in the United States. It's one of our coveted cultural awards. And he wrote a book called Achilles in Vietnam and another book called Odysseus in America, where he argues that storytelling in the Western world, maybe in the world in general, was born from the need to hear and tell the veteran story, that the Homeric epics, the Iliad and the Odyssey, are about veterans and war, not coincidentally, but out of necessity, that the narration and the telling of the experience of war is critical and essential for the communalization, as he says, of that experience, that we all share in it, whether we went to it or not. And he thinks that Greek tragedy in particular was a way of this highly militarized democracy in Athens, which saw nearly 80 years of war in a 100-year period. It was a way for them to bring the city together. I mean, one-third of the population of the city would have been of the citizens in the city would have been sitting in that theater in spring of the year that those plays were performed, bearing witness to the truth of the experience of war, not in isolation, but as a community. And so seen through that lens, ancient Greek tragedy appears as a really remarkable method of bringing people together and helping them to connect and to collectively shoulder the pollution, as I said in the Greek, the miasma that comes back from war together.
You could read the Iliad and the Odyssey, which come out of an older tradition, in the same way, surely. It's possible to read the Iliad as a kind of swashbuckling tale of derring do, but a close reading of the Iliad surely leaves you with a kind of yin and yang view of war, with, the terrible, terrible price that war exacts on people, as well as the sort of glory and the valour.
No question. I mean, the Odyssey is a story about a combat veteran who's returning from the Trojan War, and it takes him 10 years to return. And you don't have to look very far for metaphors that are completely, mapped to our world today.
Well, the biggest metaphor is he's lost his way and can't find his way home.
Exactly. That's the central metaphor, that it's possible to be home and not recognize it, which is what happens when he lands on the beaches of Ithaca after those 10 years, to not even not even recognize the soil of your own homeland after going to war.
Brian, as we wind up, where does this leave you in your own views about the function of war, about the use of military force to achieve desirable ends?
Well, look, I marched against the invasion of Iraq in the United States. I felt it was a huge foreign policy mistake. It wasn't until the Walter Reed scandal broke. That was when, in 2007, the Washington Post released an article exposing that our nation's largest military hospital, Army hospital, was under-resourced. People were coming back from these wars, and they weren't being treated to the medical treatment they deserved, both physical and mental. And that was when I got started with theater of war. My position is that there is no greater condemnation of war and of its horror, no more powerful condemnation than people who've been to war speaking honestly and openly about it. But if you're looking for a way to celebrate those very rare and important and crucial values that we've lost for the most part in our secular society that still live in some ways in the military, a sense of honor, of duty, of fidelity, an appreciation for the fragility of human life, then you can also look to these stories. And so the plays aren't meant to be political, but the objective of what we do is to bring people together and say, well, what is our moral obligation? How do we help people who've been to the conflicts begin to heal? And I hope this is also how forward-thinking democracies, we're standing at a very critical moment where it looks like the world may be summoning all of us back to war again, how we weigh and discuss and think about the human costs of those decisions. And it's in the stories of the people who've experienced them, I think, that we should find the wisdom to guide our decisions, in the weeks and months to come.
Brian, thank you for joining me.
Thank you so much.
Brian Dorries is a writer, director, and translator. He's the founder of Theatre of War, a project that presents readings of ancient Greek tragedies to returned servicemen and women to help them, well, come to terms, I guess, with the experiences they've been through. And his new book is wonderful. It's called The Theatre of War. It's published in Australia by Scribe. I loved reading it. It's a profound encounter, and I really recommend it. On air, online, and on your ABC radio app, you're with RN. This is Books and Arts with Michael Cathcart.